praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive. For the Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, find the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah. Slain, who have borne all our sin and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers this morning. It is February 17th, 2024, and we welcome you folks out there, and we thank you for being here today. Before we get started, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Tim, why don't you go ahead and kick us off with a prayer.
All right. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne this morning, Lord, and we claim the victory over the enemies of our Father. We know that, Lord, you are the supreme commander, and Lord, that everything proceeds according to your plan and purpose. Lord, we pray that those people would be made your, that those entities and individuals that seek to destroy you, Lord, and to curse in the name of Christ would be made your footstools. Lord, that no weapon that they possess would prevail against you or your people, Lord, that we would be divinely protected, Lord, that your name would be magnified in all that is brought about and all that happens, Lord, that the world may be astounded and convinced that Jesus is King. Lord, I just ask that you'd watch over our families and your people and bless us in all that we undertake. Lord, prosper the work of our hands. Give us strong minds that we might be able to withstand the fiery darts of Satan, and that, Lord, we might have that shield of faith to protect us, as well as the other weapons of our warfare for that divine warfare, for the physical warfare as well, Lord. We ask all these things. We pray, Lord, that you would just give us the victory in all these things. By your name, by your blood, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jim. I'm not sure who's in the car. Who's driving?
I'm driving, Jason.
Okay. I'm going to have to have you sign off because it's just too, I got too much background noise coming in.
All right. I'll call back when I get home. I'm almost there.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thanks. And we are back, and we are getting a signal out now. We got some snow out here in Colorado, and boy, the temperature started dropping yesterday, and it started getting colder and colder and colder, and snow came in, and I don't know, we ended up with about 2 inches of snow so far. They were forecasting an inch, so it they're not too far off, but boy, it went from being pleasantly warm to pleasantly cold. So it's definitely interesting. I gotta do a few things here. Josh, I'll go ahead and just turn it over to you.
So we're in the same shape here. We went from in the 70s to the high 30s, and that's a pretty good transition overnight. But definitely is a blessing. We got some rain and what have you. So we just, you know, we're always thinking about, talking about how grateful we should be. I guess it's just a, I don't know if it's a man thing or Anglo thing or what have you. But I don't like to be made to do things behind people. And so Valentine's Day has always been a hang up for me. And, I am very thankful for my wife and what have you. I don't like being made by the, you know, society or whatever. Okay, you got to go buy $100 dozen roses to show how thankful you are for your wife. And, I don't know. I just, sometimes that causes friction. But I think it's important that we show that we're thankful for our significant other, you know, regularly, not just on one day whenever you make a big deal and everybody can make a Facebook post and, you know, super swell. Sometimes a wife that completely shares that view, but anyway, but yeah, that was what I had to go on.
Well, and it's one of those things is, and I've heard it said by a lot of people that it's basically a Jewish tax on love. And it's you know, they got to have another holiday to make some more money, and I agree with you. I mean,
I forget the ranking, but isn't it like one of the higher grossing holidays?
It is, and you think about it. I mean, it's the time of year you can go buy flowers any time of the year, but you go buy them on Valentine's Day, and boy, the price is a lot higher. And they do that before, you know, the couple weeks before Valentine's Day until the day after. That's when the price comes down. And you know, they set out their nice fancy stuff in the aisles in the grocery stores. But boy, they've got every woman across America convinced that if they don't get something on Valentine's Day, that nobody likes them.
I guess the point I'm making is that we need to make a good enough effort as husbands and men, you know, to make sure that our significant other knows how we feel about them. And you're supposed to do stuff like anything else. You got to invest in a relationship for there to be a good relationship. And you can't just do it once a year.
I was going to say that if you can do that once a year and buy, I don't know, some flowers or some chocolates, and you're good the rest of the year, why, she's pretty cheap. I mean, I don't know, you know, so it's kind of like, it requires effort every day. And you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to say that because women like that, there's anything wrong with it. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, yeah, it definitely takes input every day. You have to work at it.
And there's a return on investment, you know, because I think any of us would be liars if we say that we don't like being taken care of, certain little things that we like to do. You know, Jason, his recliner, and, you know, somebody brings him and sets him down a glass of tea on the table beside, they appreciate that. And I've heard you tell them you appreciate that, but it's just the little stuff that matters to people. Your time is worth so much more than just money, right? and your effort.
It is. And I think that that's one of the things that, you know, that we need to, you know, continue to work on. I know it goes with, you know, with my wife and with my children. And the same thing is, you know, taking that time, you know, got four children and you know, try to spend that special amount of time with them, you know, every week or when I can, and, you know, take turns. And, you know, when I run errands in town, I try to, you know, rotate through and, you know, whose turn is it to go to town with Dad, and, you know, making that time special and talking to him about things and keeping, you know, relationships open and talking about things that are going on in the world and opinions on things and hearing their opinions on things. And, you know, sometimes just listening is something that you can do that will touch them more than anything else.
And I tell you, there's a lot to learn from a different perspective. They definitely offer a different perspective than we have.
Well, it sounds like we've got Zach back.
Yes, I'm back. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well. Good morning, Zach. How are you?
Extremely busy, so I can't complain.
Well, good. No, Josh, back to that. I agree with you, you know, so much. And you know, that's so much of that foundational, you know, teaching. I mean, you've got children that are the same age as mine. A couple of them are. And it's so important to, you know, be spending that time with them. And I know you work out of town quite a bit, but when you're home, you're spending time with your family.
Yeah. Actually headed to an archery shoot right now. But, you know, that's what you do, just like what Zach was saying. We stay busy. I do work a lot. And it takes a good bit for us to be a single income family. And, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. So they're mom's be able to be home with them and working at that foundation you were just talking about.
What's going on in your world?
A lot of times, you know, as you're... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Tim.
I think a lot of times, as you realize that, it's good to ingrain good habits, both in you and your children, that, hey, dads and mom, they make time, they try to do these things, because someday those roles are going to be somewhat reversed. You know, I have older children now. I mean, my children are in their 30s and their 40s. And, you know, we count it as a blessing pretty much every day. We have one of them is here for lunch, or they show up and spend part of the day, or sometimes a couple of them. And you just don't have any idea how special that is to actually have your children be able to show up and spend the day with you, you know, and or to just be there and you get to spend time together and do time. So I think that it pays, I think Josh said that, but it pays off as time goes by. I mean, it's one of those things, you know, we're grateful for them that they take the time to do that, that's, you know, it's a blessing to us.
Yes. Zach, what do you got? What do you see going on in your neck of the woods?
Well, I'm gonna get back to about spending time with your children. You know, I got two teenagers, and I have two of them that are not teenagers yet, and I'm under the train of thought as when they get older, it's time for the dad to actually do a lot of stepping in and training your teenagers. Like, it even starts before that, but you train your teenagers, you know, about God, the Bible, how to conduct yourself. You know, as time goes on and the kids do get older before they're out of, you know, the parents' control, you know, dads really need to step in and, like, teach their kids how to survive in the world. And it's just, like, basic stuff. And, you know, I sit there and I watch, like, my son and my daughter do things, and then other kids in the neighborhood, like, they catch wind of what's going on at this particular place. And then before you know it, they show up, because I see a lot of parents, they don't teach their kids, like, how to survive, like how to change a tire, how to run equipment, how to, you know, split wood. I mean, there's an art to doing everything. And when, like, this is what happens at my house, like, all the other kids in the neighborhood, they happen to see what's going on, and then they gravitate towards that, and they actually want to be taught that stuff, and they want to. Our society is starving these young people of survival skills, and I think they actually instinctively know that they're going to have a rough go if they don't know this stuff. And you know, everybody wants to go off and get a college degree, and, you know, all those jobs are taken. But, like, the actual blue collar, as time goes on, if you train your children to work with their hands, they are going to become more and more valuable in the future. So it's really important that you do spend that time with your children. And all the neighbor kids that show up, and take that time and point them in the right direction and let them go at it and hash stuff out. Like, I look at my place and I got blocks of wood laying all over, wood splitters, loaders, chainsaws, all that stuff. And, you know, all the neighbor, I let the neighborhood kids use it all, which I don't know. People might think I'm crazy for that, but, you know, they're learning how to problem solve and troubleshoot. And if you're not giving your children that opportunity to do that stuff while they're under their care, because if something gets messed up, then they got your level of protection to, like, solve the problems that, like, just get a little bit out of their league. And it's really important as parents and actually as men that we give our children that opportunity to fail at stuff when it's not so pricey. Because when you fail at stuff when you're an adult, it's really pricey. So that's kind of my thought on what we're talking about.
And so that's, like, the way I see that is it's taken me 40 years to learn what I know today, which I always say the more I learn, I find out the less I know. But if I can give everything I've got to my 16-year-old son when he's at 16, then where will he be whenever he's 40? You know, if he can be where I'm at now, he can take that and grow it, and he'll be in so much better shape than I am. good foundation in them now and try to put them where we're at. And you can't with experience, but you can knowledge-wise as far as, you know, you're talking about your son here a while back, you know, popping a track off, being able to get it back on. And, you know, that's a big deal. And there's so many different lessons that come with that, not just about a piece of equipment. And that's a big deal.
You're right, because no matter what happens, like, you want to use that example of popping a track off. I pop tracks off like 3 or 4 times this week. You know, it's going to happen. You need to be able to take care of yourself and deal with the problem. And, you know, that kind of stuff is just, it's actually priceless, because you're teaching them to survive in this world.
You know, So in all things, we've got to be counting on God, and that's a fact. We can't have faith in ourselves. But you feel so much better, and you're so much better equipped when you know how to handle a situation, because you've dealt with that situation. Same thing, when you're grounded in the Word and you know what the Bible says on, nobody can take you off track or show you something different, because you know what you know, and they can't take that from you. And so there's not a feeling of panic whenever something goes sideways, because, all right, I know what I know. This is what God says I'm supposed to do with it. This is how. Does it look like it's going to work? No, it doesn't look like it's going to work, but I know it will. And so you're able to not panic and pick a plan of attack and make stuff happen. And just that is equipping us for doing our work in life, whether it be physically, spiritually, raising our children, whatever. That's what being one of those easy elite soldiers, you know, being, I always say I want to be a Swiss Army knife. You know, I want to have something for whatever comes down the road. Be prepared. And you got to take that and put it across every aspect of life. Not just that you've got enough guns or ammo or food or whatever. That's important, but that's not all where it's at.
Amen.
Well,
Dad,
we've got,
I like how you mentioned that about your, you know, the neighborhood boys or the neighborhood guys coming by and seeing and realizing that what's going on at your place, they want part of that. It attracts them. I've seen that out here when we've been, you know, putting up small squares of hay, bucking hay, and it seems like sometimes you can't get any help, but we've had years that the children would call me or call my son and say, hey, are you putting hay up? We want to come help. And it wasn't just because we were paying them, but it was the camaraderie they got, the fellowship they got. You know, they enjoyed being out, having the radio on, driving through the hay fields, working, sweating, and it did. It seemed like they enjoyed it, and I thought it was interesting how you said it, that it seems like they almost think, apparently they need.
You're breaking up.
They need to know.
Yeah, and it is, and we got to look at what the Bible is, says, and there's so many scriptures that that talk about what we're to do as far as raising children, and that needs to be our owner's manual, our manual that we're looking to and seeing what we're supposed to be doing. I know that Proverbs 22:6 is one of the most quoted scriptures talks about training up a child. And it says, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. you know, Ephesians 6:4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and the reproof give wisdom, but the child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." And, I mean, you can go on, and I think that that's one of the things that we need to, you know, raising children, we need to be looking at, you know, what does the Bible say about raising children? There's a lot in Proverbs that, a lot of scriptures that, you know, talk about discipline and how we are supposed to discipline our children, what we're supposed to do with them. Proverbs 13:24 says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." And I know this is something that, you know, Josh, me, and Zach have talked about quite a bit, but you know, it's something that we, you know, get back to the manual, you know, that, and this is our manual.
Yeah, I was just sitting there. I was just sitting there thinking, like, as you were talking, Jason, one of my kids. I have a tablet, and it's like magnetized with a keyboard to it, and it got left out back, and then we got like 4 inches of snow, and I'm looking for my tablet, and so I had all four of them out there. I don't know if I should have done this, but it was you're all guilty by association because you all do the same thing. And I gave them all blowers, and they had to blow the backyard of snow to find my keyboard. And it took them about 20 minutes, but they got it. But the point of it is, like, you know, the lesson is if you mess up, you need to make sure that you fix the problem, you know. And I think a lot of parents, you know, they just be like, oh, it's okay, you know, and, you know, just go out and buy another keyboard. But, you know, it's just those little things, you know, about holding yourself accountable. And, you know, that's really what God wants us to do, is to hold ourselves accountable. And, you know, and look at the rules that he gave us to work in, and go out there and live a prosperous life. And when we do that, that gives him the glory, because we're doing it his way, you know. And so, yeah, there's...
All participants are now unmuted.
I don't know what that was, but anyways, that's what I was... That was just what was going through my mind.
Someone, Jason, was talking just a few minutes ago, thinking about conversations we've had, one of them being that, you know, labor is worthy of his wages. And that's one thing that's important. Like, when, you know, I go do jobs or whatever, and take my son with me and he works, I pay. Because, I mean, that's, you want to teach him that that's the way it works. You work hard, you do a good job, you make good money. And if you slough off and hide and kick rocks, well, you probably not make as much money because you're not doing as good a job. And, you know, all those little lessons, which I guess really aren't little lessons, they matter. But it's important that you do it correctly. And just like what you're talking about, that accountability. I mean, we've all got to be accountable for our actions. That's something as a society that we are very much lacking. And I feel like on purpose they're trying to take that away from us in so many different situations where, you know, it's not my fault. Somebody else's fault. Most of the time, you know, you have at least some amount of guilt in whatever goes on. It's at least partially your fault, if not all your fault.
Amen.
One thing he wants, okay, to be with your children. You know, when I started homeschooling, so I don't know exactly where it says, but be with your children. You're rising up and you're going out and you're coming in. And you're supposed to be with them because they learn by observation more than by teaching. You know, if your actions don't follow your words, that's actually a hindrance to them. But if you can show them, and that is really important to be with them. There was a president that had, his wife had 17 or 18 children, but every child got one exclusive hour every week, and they all came to be, it don't take a lot of time, it just takes a lot of dedication and importance to you. You know, those children are, you know, I don't care how much money you got, those children are your best gift. They're a gift from God, you know, and we've been told, oh, we don't have that much money, we can't have a big family or anything like that. Well, you go without. And there's something about, you know, mowing the grass, building a house. When you can look back and see what you did in a day, it's really, for you, it's refreshing. I think our whole Anglo-Saxon people are pretty much that way. They like to be productive. But today, they go in and get their statement in the mail, how much money they made at interest and usury. And this thing is on destruction as we speak. It's just falling apart. And like Zach Lloyd, we're investing in the future of our children. And I told Jason, you know, that my job in life was to train my replacement. Because life is pretty short when you start thinking about it. Especially you get a little older, and Rob, when you're 20, you're invincible. You'll think you'll live forever, but that just ain't true. You'll figure that out over time. So, but yeah, give them your time. It's the best thing you give them, you know, and teach them how to make a dollar. You know, just ask kids selling firewood, and there's all kinds of cottage industries. But we're going to go back to that. We're on our way. You know, this sucker is falling apart really fast. So, and the strength is in the Lord, you know, the word of God, you know, and then Timothy, I was looking for it, and he said, if you don't work, you don't eat. Paul was working, doing his own work, and he wasn't asking the people to support him. No, he could. He said, I could, but I'm not, because I'm going to make my own money. I don't know exactly how he did it, but he made his own money in his own way. And now, this inflation thing that's been there before, it's just impossible for a kid to even think about buying a house or anything. Your Bible says your money will turn to dross. It is really turning to dross by the moment. And that's God's doing. He's going to get our attention. You know, Biden is guilty of treason, obvious, is just so obvious you can't even hide it. But they're always picking on Trump, and I'm not telling him I'm a Trump fan, but the only thing I'll say about him, I know how bad they hate him. He's got to be doing something right. So, but yeah, Trump and a whole bunch are just treasonous. You know, they got people guarding the border down there, and he's sending the feds against them. I don't know how it's working out, but his heart ain't with American people. But yes, give your children your time and show them a constructive thing. And every child has its own talent. They don't all have to bale hay or cut trees or whatever it is they do. They got to find their own way. They got to find their calling, and they got one. God, they were made for a calling, so they got to look for it. And sometimes you got to try a few different jobs to figure out who you are, but every one of them is a teacher of some sort.
You're right, and that's what I was saying, though. If we teach them what we know, what we've got, then they can take those lessons and apply them across the board, not just to, you know, whatever it is we're trying to show them how to do. But I'm thankful that my children aren't like me, just for the record.
Yeah. Well, and I know that, you know, for me, it's so much of the time when you're dealing with your children, how much reflection that stuff comes back on you, and, you know, how you start thinking and you start talking as a father to your children, and then you start, you know, applying those lessons that you're trying to teach your children on to things that you need to be working on in your life. And I believe that, you know, that's why, you know, the scriptures have got, you know, requirements, you know, on being a father and being married to, you know, having positions in the church and stuff is because of those lessons that you do learn from being a father. I know for me, it's, you know, you have problems with, you know, your children listening. You know, are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? You know, and you know, every time that that comes out of my mouth, I stop and I think, you know, am I listening? Am I listening to the Lord? Am I listening to what He's telling me? Am I listening to, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing? And, you know, so much of the times it's, you know, go through something with one of the children, and it's just like, whoa, it's sometimes it's like a slap in the face, and it's, you know, it stops, and it's like, okay, maybe I need to be working on this in my life. And, you know, this lesson may be not about, you know, me teaching my children as much as it is about what God's trying to teach me in my life. And when you start looking at things in those perspective, man, I tell you what, it's humbling, and you can learn a whole lot.
I can't tell you how many times, especially with my oldest, the younger part and all, but that I'll be correcting him with some statement, and the words aren't even...
They're not even out of your mouth yet.
And I'm looking up, I'm like, gotcha, ball, gotcha. You know, because, like I said, it was for me as much as it was for him, and or maybe more. And it teaches you what love is, and, you know, how to have a perfect love, and patience, and understanding. And I think the best thing that ever happened to a man is getting married and having children.
Amen.
Amen. I can remember thinking that you want to make sure that you have a little forgiveness towards your children as they're working and everything else, and as they're learning these things, because at some point I'm going to require a little bit of that too, because I wasn't perfect and I made some mistakes, and you know, so give a little, get a little type thing. It's like, and I'm not saying that you have to let them get away with, you know, bad things. I'm just saying that, you know, there's just those moments there where, and the other thing that occurs to me that I can always remember is the most successful teacher, student will always surpass the instructor. So don't be jealous or don't be frustrated if your children surpass you in something that you've taught them. That's a sign that you did a good job. You know, I mean, that's a blessing. I mean, to think that they had enough natural, and like Josh said, you brought them up to your level and they exceeded it, you know. Wait for me, I'm coming too. I mean, but you know, it's your opportunity to see that growth, to see that blessing. So, anyways.
Yeah.
Well, look how God deals with us. He gives us the free will. You know, He don't sit there and look over our shoulder all the time, but He gets things in our life that we learn from. And He gives that free will, and that's how we have to deal with our kids. We got to give them a little room to make a mistake. And, you know, but when they be there, just say, did you learn something? You know, we got to let them make mistakes. And the earlier you do it, the less they'll make, I think.
I agree.
Yeah, that makes
sense. But, Cam, it is a little bit rough whenever your four-year-old outsmarts you. You know, you're,
yeah.
Sometimes you just kind of grit your teeth and be like, all right, pal. Yeah, gotcha.
well, at least they're getting there early, right?
yeah.
Yeah, Yeah, it's definitely one of those things. I mean, I'll tell you what, you're never going to do everything right, and you know you're not going to make all the right decisions when you're raising your children. And there's things that you're going to have to look back on, and you're going to say, "Wait, I wish I would have done things different." You know, and that's just that's part of the growth process as well. I mean, there's things that I've done that looked back and I've regretted and, you know, had to repent of doing. You know, at the time I seemed like I was doing the right thing, and I sure thought I was, but that's part of that growth process as well, that you recognize those things, you know, and learn from your mistakes. And you know, that's what me and Josh and Zach just we bounce stuff back and forth over the years on, things that we've done and things that we've screwed up and things that we've tried to make better. And, you know, having other men that we can talk to and, say, hey, how do you handle a situation like this? Because, you know, we don't got it all figured out.
Well, it's important that your children see that you make mistakes too. I mean, because it's definitely frustrating dealing with somebody that's right all the time. You know, we're not perfect, and they're watching to see how you handle your mistakes, and that's gonna, you know, help shape the way that they handle their mistakes whenever they make. So I don't try to paint a perfect picture of who I am and what I do to my children. I want them to see really who I am. You know. How I handled the hard times, not just the easy
times. Yeah, that's another privilege that exists among families and among close friends is, you may put on that armor, that shell for the rest of the world, and that's what you've got to have to survive out there, but they know the real you, and that's an important thing. I mean, they need to know the real you. And the full, the height of your success, and also, you know, the depth of your overcoming of your trials and tribulations, and how you deal with that, because they're going to have those too. And the standard of this impenetrable front that we show the rest of the world cannot always be that way. And if they're trying to do that with, you know, family, home, wife, children, it's not going to work out so well.
Yeah, that's an unobtainable standard, you know, because they're trying to compare themselves to you, just like drawing the line on the doorway, you know, as the child grows. Can't wait to get taller than mom and maybe taller than dad. They're comparing themselves to us all the time. And if we make out like, you know, we're perfect and we got everything figured out, well, then they're going to think they're supposed to too. And then whenever they have a failure, they're not going to be.
Yeah, they won't be able to. They don't have
well equipped.
A way to handle that. You know, I mean, it's, I oftentimes have said over the years, I can forgive people for a lot of things, but the hardest guy I know to forgive for something is me. I have a hard time forgiving myself, you know, because it's like, I should have known better than that. I shouldn't have done that, you know. And it's important that they understand things like that. Not that it makes you feel kind of a little less, but hey, that's not what it's about. It's not about me. It's about them. So, we know that Corinthians 13 says that love's not puffed up or, you know, and all those things. So, you know, sometimes I think God deflates us just so that we can show our family and our children that this is how you have to deal with that.
And Paul's got a good perspective on that he helped me by beating me with many times. And that is very important, forgiving yourself.
It is.
Well,
Well, I'll tell you what I say. That was yesterday, and there's not one thing I can do to change it and just improve for tomorrow is all you can do, because that was yesterday. And you can't go back. So learn from it.
Amen.
Yeah, if Christ can forgive it and forget it, why can't you? You know, that's the, yeah. So forget about it, move on.
Yeah, we've got, you know, a couple things that that we've got going on here, too. We've had a, been working on our mini catalog of Pastor Peter's materials, and it was fun to put together. And if you're on the Dragon Slayer newsletter mailing list, you'll be receiving this mini catalog that hopefully will be shipped out in the mail on Monday. But it's something that as I looked through those messages and those, you know, the series, he had you know, standalone messages, he had series, he had pamphlets that he had put together, books that he had put together, and just the amount of teaching that that went into those messages on so many, just, you know, varieties of subjects, on subjects as such as, you know, raising children, you know, how to be a good husband, who America is, being a good patriot, being a good Christian. There's so many subjects in there, but there's so many just hours and hours of teaching. And that's one thing that, you know, just marveled for the longest time of how God used Pastor Peters in so many ways, but he had so many lessons that he had to go through to get to be able to teach on those subjects. And you know, some of them weren't easy. A lot of them weren't easy. And you know, the Lord started using him at a very early age and was able to teach him lessons. And I think that that's one of the things that that I know about it. You know, people talk about what a great teacher was, but he was a great student. And he learned the lessons and was able to see the lessons that were being taught him going back to a very young age. There's a lot of those messages that, you know, he referred to things that happened back when he was, you know, a child, 8, 9 years old, 12, 13 years old, and, you know, basically all through his life, and how he was able to take and dissect the things that the Lord was teaching him and apply them to biblical principles. And, you know, how that's something that is so lost. We, you know, we go through things sometimes, you know, we don't ask the question, you know, why am I going through this? Why do I have to deal with this? What is going on? What is the answer? And, you know, that's what we need to constantly be doing, is putting a biblical perspective on it and, you know, looking to the scriptures and saying, hey, has this happened before? Who has this happened? Who has this happened to? And why did it happen? And, you know, what do I need to do? What do I need to change in my life? What do I need to correct?
Well, what I did when I got in a case like that, I said, okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach me now? You know, and that adversity comes into your life for to teach you things, to learn how to deal with it, you know. And it's over time, after enough time, you get a little patience out of it. So, and tolerance, you know. God went down to the docks and got his disciples. He didn't go to the universities. So the school of hard knocks is the best teacher.
Yeah, thank God he chooses the weak and the foolish.
Amen to that, that's for sure. But anyway, it's exciting to put together this catalog, and I think that it's going to be a real benefit to people. And I hope that anybody that's out there that would like to receive this catalog, just, you know, let us know, and we'll make sure it gets shipped out to you. If you're on the Dragon Slayer mailing list newsletter, and you receive that, you'll be receiving it in the mail. But just timeless, stuff that, some of the stuff is like, I forgot we even had it, and went back and started going through it and listening to it again, and just really encouraged by it. And the other thing that I found that I hadn't found in a long time, or I hadn't seen in a long time, was we did a series of salvational videos that we shot in Pastor Peter's living room years ago. And I wanted him just to sit down and just do some short, 10-minute videos on the biblical plan of salvation. And I had talked to him about it, and originally the plan was to go down to the church and record him at the church. And he said, well, I think that's something that we can shoot right here in the living room. So we set up in the living room, and we shot these a series of, I think there's 7 or 8 of them, but they were 10-minute short videos on the biblical plan of salvation. And I'll tell you what, it was, I mean, just, they turned out really good, and I really enjoyed them. And as I watched those this week, it's, I'm preparing those, and I'll get those posted up on our Rumble channel, because I think that people are really going to enjoy them. But just the amount of wisdom, and taking stuff that so many people take and make complex, of how he had the ability to break it down and make it simple and make it where the common man could understand it. Where everybody else, well, not everybody else, but a lot of people try to make it seem so complex. I mean, and that was another one of his gifts, and I really appreciated that about him, is that he had that ability. And I know that I know you men, you've commented on the same thing, and you've noticed that. And I, that's something that we're supposed to do too, is we're supposed to take these complex things that we see and that seem like that how are you going to understand that? How are you going to fix that? And being able to, teach those things to our children. I know that go ahead.
I think that's part of the racket. You got to go to whatever it is, theological university, to be able to decipher this higher knowledge. Therefore, I've done my time. I get this position. Now you got to pay me so that I can make it simple. You know what I'm saying? And it's just, that's not the way that it should be. It is simple if you let it be simple. And you can take something and wind it up where it makes no sense at all. But let the simple things be simple. And I just think about, like, what Zach's doing in his wood yard out there with the neighborhood kids. I mean, Pastor Peters did that on a 1,000 times scale, but it's the same thing.
Amen.
Okay. We were the ones that he was teaching that, hey, when you hit your thumb, it's going to hurt. Guess what's going to happen next time when you hit your thumb? It's still going to hurt. And then guess what I did? I think I had to try that a time or two.
Yeah. Well, men, thank you for being here this morning, and Remnant, thank you for being here. We are out of time. Do apologize about the technical difficulties we had there at the beginning, but hopefully we'll get them figured out. Not sure exactly what happened, but do thank you for being here, and remember to join us for church tomorrow by going to Scriptures for America.
Praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah. Glory, revive us again.
has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, find the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory. Was slain, who had borne all our sin and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory.
Again.